Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O
Lord.
After 3 days, Jesus' parents found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When Jesus' parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But his parents did not understand what he said to them. Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And Mary kept all these things in her heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
45 years ago, in 1969, Pope Paul VI moved the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary to the day after the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart. Prior, it had been celebrated on August 22nd, when we now celebrate the Feast of Mary's Coronation, more or less as the crowning of the octave of our veneration of Mary assumed body and soul into heaven, that our way to follow her would be to imitate her Immaculate Heart. But what Pope Paul VI wanted to do was to stress that Mary shows us, shows everyone in the Church, how to respond to her Son's Sacred Heart. And so wanted us, on the immediate aftermath of pondering the solemnity of Jesus' loving heart, to see the response in Mary and to learn from Mary what the Lord would be asking of us. What did we ponder yesterday in the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus? We pondered Jesus' sacred humanity, that he had taken on our human nature in order to be able to give it for us out of love. We pondered his heart aflame when Diane Cloutier Calora asked if she could paint the statue of the Sacred Heart. After she has done so much beautiful artwork and painted the other statues, I said, "Of course, but there are two conditions on your painting the statue of the Sacred Heart. First thing is you're going to make him look like a man, not like a woman. Because so many of the statues of the Sacred Heart are not the type of person who inspires men to pray in the least. Jesus is supposed to be a man, make him look like a man." And I said, "The second, the most important part of that statue is what you do with the heart of Jesus. Because most statues of the Sacred Heart don't know what to do with his heart. His heart's absolutely got to be on fire." So she was asking me for greater definition of what that would mean. And I gave her an image of my favorite icon of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is in the Church of the Gesù, the Jesuit Church in Rome, where St. Ignatius and St. Francis Xavier are buried. Side chapel there, you've got a heart that's really aflame, and I'm so happy that Diane did justice to that flaming heart of Jesus. The heart that Jesus has for us. He said to Margaret Mary as soon as he had appeared, that I can no longer keep back the fire of the flames of my heart that burns with love for you and for all humanity. That's what we first mark on the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart. And then, in the midst of those apparitions to St. Margaret Mary, he did a mystical heart transplant. He took, mystically, from Margaret Mary's breast, her heart, bathed it in his own heart, and then gave it back, having burned out all the dross there. That he wishes to give us all a heart transplant. But what we've got to realize is that most of us are in spiritual cardiac arrest. Most of us have a heart problem. We're not yet receiving yet the love that God wants to pour into our hearts. And because we're not receiving that love of God adequately, it's not like we're totally rejecting it. We just haven't opened ourselves up to it in all its reality. Because of that, it's harder for that love to overflow in our truly Christ-like love of God and neighbor. to receive that love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and to respond with adequate love. That's the whole part. That's the whole point of the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And in order to focus on that reality, the Christians throughout the centuries have consecrated themselves to Jesus' Sacred Heart. Say, I believe in that love. Where we say, Jesus, O meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours. That's precisely what Jesus wants to do. But the reality is we need help. We need a model. As many times as we've heard that, have we really done it yet? Have we received that love adequately? Let Jesus' love burn away any false loves that we have toward our attachments to sinful practices. Or have we just allowed the Lord to love us a little? And have we then loved Him and loved others a little, but not with that same burning passion? If Jesus were to come to see each of our hearts right now as the spiritual cardiologist, would He say, your heart is the real version of what Diane Calora painted over on my statue? Or would He be listening to see if it's still beating? Right, we have to be honest about that. Mary, on this Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, shows us that response. Her heart was a heart totally receptive to the love of God. Her heart was a contemplative heart. At the end of today's Gospel scene, it's one of the three times that St. Luke tells us that Mary kept all of these things, pondering them in her heart. Her heart was a divine depository. God could place Himself there, and should treasure His word so much that it would take on her own flesh, treasure His very presence. She'd treasure the good things, she'd treasure the bad. Her heart was a grateful heart that would explode, like we heard in the responsory today in the words of her Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Her heart was an obedient heart, a heart that said, Fiat, let it be done to me according to your word. A heart that was consistently saying yes. One of the other options for today's Gospel passage, we could have read that time when the anonymous woman cried out from the crowd, blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee. And no womb was ever more blessed, no breasts were ever more sacred than Mary's, which were related to the eternal Son of God. But Jesus didn't let the praise stop there, as if Mary should be lauded simply because of her physical relationship to Him. Jesus said, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Mary's was a truly obedient heart. And Mary's was a suffering heart. At the presentation, Simeon, moved by the Holy Spirit, after saying Jesus was a light of revelation to the Gentiles, to all the nations, said, and your heart likewise will be pierced, so that the thoughts of many will be revealed. So on this Immaculate Heart of Mary feast day throughout the centuries, Christians have pondered Mary's seven sorrows. Seven times her heart was pierced just during the lifetime of the Lord Jesus. But Mary's heart has been pierced so many times more. I remember very well going to La Salette Shrine last September with the pilgrims who had come to France with Father Nick and me. And it was there that we ponder Mary heaving over on that mountainside, bawling her eyes out. Why? For any child to see a mother crying, it moves the child very much. And we must be moved when we see Mary bawling her eyes out. Why is she bawling her eyes out? She's bawling her eyes out because so many of her sons and daughters haven't yet received that gift of the Lord, haven't received His mercy, are continuing to sin. She was talking about some very common sins which are still very much present today. Missing Mass, failing to pray, not keeping the minimal fast of Lent in the absence of Lent, not even living the time of conversion well, and not really being good at home. She was weeping copiously. Her heart continues to get pierced because her heart really loves, and she knows what that alienation really looks like and does. So today on this feast day, we come and we ask for a heart like hers. When Mary appeared in Fatima in 1917, she said to the three young shepherd children, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart in order to counteract all the sins that lead to hell, in order to counteract all the sins that lead to atheistic communism and the subsequent destruction, in order to circumvene all the sins that lead to the persecution of the church, that the solution to all of that was devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And she asked precisely for consecration. Like there's a consecration of the Sacred Heart of Jesus that has been done by individuals, by families, by parishes, by dioceses, and by the whole world. Mary wanted to have established a consecration to her Immaculate Heart so that we could make that consecration to her Son's Sacred Heart appropriately. We can only give what we have. And Mary shows us how to come to that type of spiritual self-possession so that we can give ourselves over to God as is needed. I've mentioned many times, because it's had a dramatic impact in my own life as a disciple and also as a priest, what now St. John Paul II used to do every single day. He used to consecrate himself to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart so that through that consecration he might enter into the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, of which the priesthood is one of the greatest manifestations. So I've said it before, but today we're going to say it together on this Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that consecratory prayer that he learned from St. Louis de Montfort that he would repeat every day. Please say after me, I am all yours, Mary.
I am all yours, Mary.
And all I have is yours.
All I have is yours.
I accept you into the totality of my being.
I accept you into the totality of my being.
Give me your heart, O Mary.
Give me your heart.
O Mary.
O Mary.
And the way we make that consecration most is right here at Mass. Yesterday on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we pondered what Jesus said to Margaret Mary, that what pains his heart most is the fact that in response to his total self-giving, giving of his heart and his entire body, blood, soul, and divinity to us every day, he receives from most ingratitude, indifference, irreverence, coldness, sacrilege, and scorn. We know that that's true. Even on Sunday, 6 out of 7 Catholics in New England don't even come to the greatest gift in the world. That happened back in John 6, when after Jesus said that he was going to give his flesh for us to eat and his blood for us to drink, many of his disciples walked away. They didn't want to handle the reality. But for us, united with Mary on this day, in response to that ingratitude that so many give to Jesus, if we're really consecrated to Mary, we are going to explode with thanksgiving. In response to the indifference, we're going to say that Jesus in the Mass, Jesus in the Eucharist, is the biggest difference maker in my life. More than winning a lottery worth $1 billion is the opportunity to be able to receive Jesus today. In response to the irreverence given by so many others, today I'm going to receive Jesus as I believe Mary would have wanted me to receive him and would have received him from the hands of those first apostles. I'm going to make that sacred temple. I'm going to clean it on out. I'm going to stay for a few minutes after Mass. And I'm going to really ponder that incredible gift, reverencing him within me before he's totally digested. Response to the coldness that so many treat him. With Mary, I'm going to treat him with passionate love. In response to the sacrilege of so many who receive him, not even in the state of grace, I'm going to try to receive him in the most sacred way possible. In response to the contempt or scorn, I'm going to receive him with great, great praise. Just praising him for his incredible love. Mary wants to help us to do that today, because her Feast of the Immaculate Heart shows us how to respond to the love of the Sacred Heart, which is enfleshed on this very altar every single day. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.